Double test done.
Excellent.
We're recording.
Hello.
How are you, Rox? You're looking very summery.
Well, thank you. It's very warm out there.
It's lovely, isn't it?
It is really nice. And maybe touch on it a bit later, but I've actually been away in the sun for a few days this week, so it's all been very exciting.
Excellent. I'm just pleased to have two lovely glasses of white wine in front of me.
Yes.
Enjoying the view of the cathedral.
It's lovely, isn't it, on the skyline and the sunshine in the background.
We can just about see it, can't we?
Yes.
If we were a floor up, we'd get it in all of its glory.
I've got to squint a little bit, but yeah.
Good. Thank you for some lovely glasses of wine.
No problem at all.
Drinking Sauvignon Blanc, aren't we?
We are. Double today.
So yeah, two glasses, two contrasting styles, but two absolutely stunning wines. If I had to pick a grape that I didn't really want to ever drink again, it'd be Sauvignon Blanc, I think.
Oh, would it? That's interesting.
Yeah.
That is interesting.
But having said that, there are so many examples of it that are outrageously good. And these are two very, very good versions.
I have to confess that I did go through a phase of being totally Sauvignon Blanc'd out. I just had it too much at one stage and just couldn't face drinking it ever again.
Too much of a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. The first one we're going to taste, I haven't actually tried. So that's quite exciting. Well, I don't remember trying it. The second one I have and I love it. So
great.
Yeah, do you want to...
Sure, yeah. I don't think you have tasted this. It's brand new onto the shelves. I tasted a sample 2 or 3 weeks ago and tried to order it, and it was still on the water as I was hoping it would be on the shelves a few weeks back. But it is a Sauvignon Blanc from the Bot River in the Western Cape of South Africa. It's made by Caprioche Kloof, who are a winery that we super love. We're very lucky. We've got one of the sort of representatives of the winery living locally to us. So
yeah, that's
kind enough to drop
me
the sample.
Mm.
So I, as I said, Sauvignon Blanc, not classically my cup of tea.
No.
I really dislike the sort of New World and Kiwi style, to be direct. But that's the cool thing to say in the UK wine trade, is that you don't like Sauvignon Blanc. We all have to recognise its commercial success.
And at the moment, it's probably just as well that's not your favourite, really, coming from New Zealand. Because
well, exactly.
A, it's tricky to get, and B, it's really shot up in price, isn't it?
Exactly. So this wine is a listing to combat that, in my mind.
Yes.
So whilst it's not the big fruit acid bomb that you expect from Malbec Sauvignon Blanc, it's a really lovely grown-up wine. Great value, $13.50 on the shelf.
Yeah.
So for New World Sauvignon Blanc,
that's excellent, isn't it? Yeah.
It certainly beats Marlborough at the moment, and it doesn't have the overly sort of ripe tropical fruits that you expect from Marlborough. It does definitely has this. My favourite thing about the wine is the nose is lovely and very Sauvignon and citrusy and grassy and quite herbaceous, but the palate is so rich and broad and textured, and it's not a full-bodied wine, but it has a lovely coating mouthfeel.
Oh, that's really lovely, isn't it? This is 21 vintage.
It's 21.
Yeah,
so super fresh. I even bought a bottle of it myself and had it with the wife a few nights ago. As I said, I would never choose Sauvignon Blanc to do that.
No, that is really good.
But,
like that.
You know, it feels like a really rounded, lovely grown-up wine.
Yeah.
So I'm really pleased to list it. I think it's great.
Yes, no, I definitely recommend that. And to sit in that £10 to £15 bracket that we talk about a lot, don't we? I think that's great at £13.50.
Yeah, it's the above supermarket, but below fine wine price.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
That, you know, you may buy a couple of bottles as opposed to six, but that means that your weekend's going to be very, very lovely.
You're definitely going to enjoy it, yeah. No, that's really good.
And then I've just been slating Sauvignon Blanc for the last sort of 3 or 4 minutes. And I'm about to taste one of my favourite wines in the world, which is 100% Sauvignon Blanc from the Marlborough region in New Zealand. It's very different in style to classic Marlborough Sauvignon Blancs. Not so much of a supply issue with this wine, because it's only made in very small quantities. It's made in a very different way as well. So it's Kevin Judd's or Grey Wacky's Wild Ferment of Sauvignon Blanc, or Wild Sauvignon he calls it. So it's a wine that is left to start its fermentation naturally, using all the wild yeasts found in the air, on the grape musts in the winery. So no commercial yeast added to it, no flavour manipulation at all at that stage in the winemaking. All left to chance in a big open top vat, wooden vat I should say, an oak vat in the winery. And it gets a little bit of barrel age, a little bit of wood on the wine. Lovely richness, lovely texture. Still get all the freshness that you expect from New World Sauvignon, But again, and in a much more intense way than the first wine, it's got this rich sort of coating palette. And
it's a much richer wine, isn't it?
It's almost a juxtaposition. It's peachy and apricotty and grapefruity and fresh, but then it has this sort of subtle vanilla-y spice to it as well.
I do recall there's a lot more going on with this one.
Oh, it's a lovely wine, isn't it?
Oh, it's so good. Each time I have that, I'm reminded of how good it is. And I think it was fairly on in the wine shop days that you first started stocking this, wasn't it?
Oh, straight away.
Back in the Womble days.
Yeah, it's a wine that I've loved for years. And we've always worked with the importer, but through our restaurant list, we've never had an opportunity to shoehorn it in, I don't think.
It is quite
premium, and it is a weird wine.
Yes.
And if people want... Sorry, it's not a weird wine. That's unfair to the wine. But it's a different style.
It's a bit more
style.
Unusual, isn't it? Yeah.
And so if people want that richer texture, especially in a pub environment, they often think of Chardonnay or maybe Chenin Blanc or something like that.
We wouldn't classically think of a Sauvignon for that necessarily, would you?
No.
But this is excellent. Remind me what this is on the shelf at. As you said, it is a more expensive one, isn't
it? $26.50.
Yes, okay. But it's also on the Enomatic this week, actually, isn't it? So another great example of being able to come in and, well, I just had to change. I got a tiny pour out for us and then had to change the bottle over.
I did a big sort of party style tasting on the Enomatic machine
last night for
a group, which was great fun. And this wine just disappeared. I had a couple of cases of it and I've now got under a case. So it did all right over a 2 or 3 hour period.
Come in quick next week before we take it off the Enomatic. But a great chance again to try a slightly more premium wine on the Enomatic, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes. And I'm going to come back and apologise to Sauvignon Blanc, because now that I've sat here and tasted these two delicious wines, I'm reminded that
you've
actually...
You've fallen in love with it all over again, haven't you?
Fumé, Sancerre, Bordeaux Blanc. Yes. They're all, and even, I know, more Semillon, but even the great wines of Sauternes from Bordeaux all contain Sauvignon Blanc, and so it can do wonderful stuff. It's just, it can also do boring stuff.
Yes,
in my opinion.
No, I think that's a fair summation. Yeah.
Great.
Okay, so what else this week then? So John's been off on his travels, or sort of last week into this week. He was in Austria, wasn't he?
He was, the lucky boy. He is using his retirement to his advantage, I think.
And he certainly is.
He's going to Argentina in a few months, I think.
Is he? Now, Argentina is a place I've never been and would love to go.
I'm the same.
Yeah.
But Austria is a very lovely place.
Yes.
And he's just back from it. He even got to visit Wim Scherne.
Yes, he did, didn't he?
We spoke about them on the podcast before.
We talked about them, didn't we? And we've got more of their wine on the shelves now, haven't we?
Yes. And he's come back and he might have accidentally become an agent for some of those wines in the UK.
So now when you come in and talk to John in the shop, you're going to be talking about South African wines and Austrian wines, aren't you?
Yeah, it's funny how people become indoctrinated with the wines that they have enjoyed whilst they've been abroad. Once you understand the sense of the place and the culture and the style, you can fall in love so easily with the wines.
I think
that's
a huge part of finding wines, isn't it, when you're travelling? I mean, for me, that was the case with a lot of Tuscan whites.
Yeah.
They just, in my mind, if I'm lucky enough to have one over here, it does take me back to sitting in a beautiful piazza or up on a hillside or, you know.
One of my favourite Sauvignon Blancs is Fontodi's
Sauvignon. Yes, okay.
Merigia, I think they call it. I can't remember. But outstanding wine.
Yeah.
And so, yes, I fell in love with that when I was last in. In fairness, I was at the estate.
At the winery.
It's difficult with Giovanni Manetti, who's the most gorgeous, like softly spoken, stereotypical, handsome Italian man you could possibly imagine. Honestly, my wife is jealous.
I was just going to say, is Em going to be listening to this?
Soft linen chinos, like blue shirt.
Not quite sure where this is going now, guys.
The most gracious man I've ever met in the wine trade. And opened up some amazing old Chiantis for us, but to start off a tasting with their Sauvignon was phenomenal.
Cool.
So yes.
Yes. It takes you back in your mind.
It's easy
to
fall in love.
Yes. Definitely. Yeah.
And as a result of your most recent holiday, we're probably going to start stocking some Croatia.
Well, I kind of think we should. What we need to investigate is how easy it is to get hold of it here, really, don't we?
Sure.
I was lucky enough to say. Bit of a whistle stop tour, 3 day break with a good friend of mine. We were due to go in May 2020. Clearly that wasn't going to happen. Postponed to May 2021. That didn't happen either. third time lucky, we've just been and come back. So it was really nice. I've not been to Croatia before, but really loved it. Beautiful weather, beautiful place, lovely friendly people, food and drink all great, spotless everywhere, low crime rate, sea was beautiful. I mean, yeah, what's not to love, really?
No, sounds great. I'm jealous of your boat ride that you told me about.
Yes. So it was a partially lazy trip, a bit of sitting in the sun, but also we did do one absolutely brilliant trip out one day. We were lucky enough to be taken by a local wine company on a tour, and we basically got taken out on a little boat, just six of us, taken out to where there were oysters, and apparently it's not very easy in Croatia to get hold of an oyster license. They are handed down. No, I didn't at all. They are handed down generation to generation, effectively. Okay. If you get one, you keep hold of it in your family, basically.
Right.
So I think the guy that took us out,
a bit like Grand Cru status, I suppose.
Yes, I think it probably is, to be honest. I think they might have said he was third generation. I can't remember. But anyway, so yes, get taken out on this little boat, and it's a beautiful day, and then they take us to where the oyster, effectively like little upturned oyster baskets are, and this guy, yeah, literally grabs one of those, pulls it up, you've got the oysters hanging down. Within, I don't know, a minute or two, he's got them onto the boat, he's shucking them. Within less than 5 minutes of pulling them out of the water, they are on our plate with a slice of lemon, a wedge of lemon, delicious.
If his oyster tour isn't called Shuck and Tuck. Yeah. I don't know.
I like that, I might have to email them. But I mean, I'm classically not that much of an oyster fan. I eat them, but I often think they're a little bit overrated.
It certainly can be. I think that the quality of the oyster is the most important thing.
Yes, well, these were just absolutely stunning. I've never tasted oysters like it. I'm not sure if I'll ever taste them like it again, but they were absolutely stunning. They were, of course, because it was a wine tour as well, they were accompanied by a very, very nice glass of wine. Mm-hmm. So it was a Grashevina, which I would say of the... There were three main grapes that we tended to drink out there. And I would say the Grashevina was probably my favourite grape, seemed to be the one that they did in various different styles, and certainly the one on the boat was fabulous. I think it had recently won a Decanter Bronze Award, I think. Really good, and just couldn't have gone more perfectly with the oysters. So that was good. Only problem was the glass seemed to go quite quickly, but you know.
Well, keep an eye on that website for Croatian and Austrian
wine. Absolutely.
We're going to start importing.
well, I did talk to, so the lady that took us on the tour was really interesting. I think her and her husband founded this wine tour company, quite a few years ago.
Yeah.
He is a WSET diploma holder.
Okay.
So they obviously genuinely are in love with their wines, know what they're talking about. I think that, I don't know exactly the timescale of it, but she had to basically come to the UK with her three-year-old child, obviously a number of years ago when the war broke out over there.
Sure.
I guess from former Yugoslavia. Her husband wasn't allowed to come, I don't think, at the time, because I think he had to stay and fight. Mm-hmm. So it just felt like there were a huge amount of parallels between what happened then and what's going on now in Ukraine. So it all felt very poignant. But yes, they obviously since then have moved back and have set up this business. So yeah, she was a lovely lady. We talked a little about exporting, and I think that there is they do export, but it's still quite a young market, I think, because of what happened after the war and that sort of thing. So yeah, we must find out who of our importers are bringing anything in. But then we went on to a winery and met the winemaker Yanni, and he was really interesting, and we tasted several wines with him. We tasted, don't think we had any Grashevina with him. We had some Posip, which you do find a lot over in Croatia, and we also had some Plavac Mali, and I think if I'm right, there are a lot of similarities between Plavac Marley, and they talk about Zinfandel, but that's effectively the same as Primitivo, isn't it? So,
well, Zinfandel or Primitivo, they are the same. Yeah. The same genetically,
yes,
they're the same.
Yes, absolutely.
But so, culturally, a bit different.
Yeah.
And it does originate from Croatia.
Yes, well, I think that's then what I realised when I sort of read a little bit about Plavac Marley. So there seems to be some suggestion that maybe there's some crossover between that, but I don't know the exact history. But so the winery we were at, we tasted some whites and some reds, but we also tasted a sparkling rosé, which was really interesting because they were making it with Plavac Marley, and from what I could gather, that's quite unusual. And I think when they started doing it, eyebrows were raised. But I've certainly never had it, it was delicious.
Primitivo or Zinfandel.
It was delicious. It was really good. So
okay,
yeah. Yeah, so that was fascinating. Loved it. We had a good half day, I guess, out doing that, and it was really good.
And you didn't sneak anything back in your
I did. No, so we also tasted their olive oil, which was fabulous. I will bring some of that in because you'll love it.
Mm-hmm.
So I did bring a little bottle of olive oil back, but I was concerned about wine in my case, so I didn't. So we must get some.
Okay, well, we'll be on the lookout for
it. Yeah, definitely. So you've been planning for another event that we've talked a little bit about before, haven't you, this week?
Oh, yes.
Croissant and Fizz Morning.
Yeah, we've just been discussing it with Worcesters, obviously.
Yes,
who
obviously.
Else?
Who else would you talk to about croissants?
Yeah, their croissants are so good. And every time I eat one, I think, this just smells like champagne.
Well, and it would be fair to say we've eaten a lot of the croissants since the shop has opened.
Honestly, for about a year and a half or so before opening the shop, I would be sat at a desk every day flogging wine over the internet in a cold brewery thinking I'm getting fat, knowing that when I open the shop, I'll be up on my feet, be back in a routine, and you know, life would be good. And then every day that we were open, you would bring in some delicious sweet treat from Worcesters around the corner.
I'm a little bit addicted to Worcesters, I have to say. But it's always worth it, isn't it? You never eat 100%. It and think, oh, I shouldn't have had that. You always eat it and think that was just amazing.
Their croissants, the lamination is so, it's ridiculous.
It's incredible.
So, so good. And as I say, every time I break one off and sniff it, because that's how I eat food, in the same way that I drink wine.
Not weird at all, Dave.
And just think, wow, that smells like great champagne. So, we're just going to do a Sunday morning, or Sunday daytime, really, a champagne and croissant.
It sounds fabulous.
Not much of a tasting. You'll pay up front £10 for your croissant, which will be prepared, waiting for you. And you can choose a glass of champagne. We'll have a couple of options. We will, whilst it's not champagne, include Knight's Timber as an option.
Yes, I think
because
that's great.
We're going to get pretty close to the Jubilee soon, and I've got bucket loads of it in stock.
Fabulous.
And, you know, actually, it's a brilliant sparkling wine, made
definitely.
It in the same methods, and, you know, English croissant, English wine, great.
Perfect.
So you can pop in any time that day, enjoy your glass, enjoy your croissant, browse the shelves. We'll do a little discount on the sparkling wines that we have on the show.
Lovely. And that is just drop in and have it. Pre-orders? How do we want to do it?
So we'll pre-order just so that we can make sure we have enough croissants. Yeah. We'll have some extra, of course, because, you know, for no reason other than us needing to eat something throughout the day.
Absolutely.
But we might have the odd person who needs a croissant. So.
Yeah, okay.
We'll have some spares, but pre-order. So everything will go online.
Yeah. So within, it'll be on the normal events page.
By the time this podcast is released,
fabulous.
It's drafted, ready to go. I'll even do a little mail out.
Great. So yes, get your ticket so that you know you've got your croissant earmarked for you. Perfect.
What better way to spend a Sunday morning, hey?
Oh, amazing. Perfect, I think. And of course, I'm assuming we can, as same as normal, someone can just come into the shop and buy a ticket for it as well.
In advance, obviously. Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
Cool. Excellent.
Yeah, that's going to be good fun.
That is. So Jubilee is looming.
Is it?
Yes. Have you not heard?
No, it's not me.
And we thought we might run a little competition, didn't we?
Mm. Yes, you did.
I did.
Yeah. You had a nice idea.
And you've come up with a prize as well. So, jute bags. So we've now sold quite a lot of our jute bags. And so we're kind of intrigued to see where they are out there in the ether and what's happening with them.
It's still really lovely because we've been speaking about jute bags since podcast number one, probably a year ago or so now, I don't know.
Yeah, probably.
But now to see them out in the wild,
it's
quite exciting. If we're walking through town and see people with a Vino Gusto jute bag.
I get a real kick out of that, I have to say.
It's a mini win.
Yeah, it's lovely.
It's a little fist bump.
Yeah.
But yes, it would be nice to see them in some exotic locations or, or you know, however best they may be.
I think portrayed. We want people to use their imagination, don't we? So really what we're after is we're after a photo of your jute bag in whatever location. So if you're away, take it while you're away. If you're, I don't know, setting up a Jubilee party and you want to send a picture with that in the background, whatever. We just want your best photos with our jute bags in them, and we want them on any form of social media, I think, don't we? So
yeah, just tag us in it so that we see it.
So at Vino Gusto UK on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. And basically we will, I think at the end, after the Jubilee weekend, I think, so we'll say it runs to the end of the Sunday of the Jubilee weekend, shall we?
And then we'll announce the winner on Wednesday, shall
we? Yeah, we'll announce the winner, and you've got a prize in mind.
Well, we're just talking about Night Timber, and it's the most classic Jubilee prize, I think. As far as English stuff goes, it's one of the best products that we produce, and that's not just within wine. So yes, let's do a lovely bottle of Night Timber. It'll be available to pick up from the shop whenever your next passing,
but
we'll release the winner and the winner's photo on that Wednesday, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it.
Great stuff.
So yes, get your photos in from any time from now until the end of the Sunday of the Jubilee weekend.
Sounds good.
Fabulous.
We'll even get it on ice for you, so it's ready to go.
Cool.
Because everyone drinks Night Timber on a Wednesday, don't they?
Oh, I mean, who wouldn't?
That's how I get up most mornings. Glass of Night Timber for breakfast. And the modern day Paul Roger. Sorry, modern day Winston Churchill.
Absolutely.
With his Paul Roger.
I always think of Winston Churchill when I see you. Okay, anything else we want to talk about this week then?
I don't think so. I've got a shop downstairs full of some lovely tasters, so better get back to it.
Let's get back to
We've got the lovely Naomi downstairs, who we haven't mentioned on the podcast.
No, we haven't,
actually,
we should.
But we should do, because everyone in Berries and Edmonds knows Naomi from The Womble. She's going to be doing a few shifts in the shop.
Yeah, she is. Yes. Yeah. So Naomi had a career change a few months ago. Which is going brilliantly for her. But she's going to do a few part-time hours for us in the shop. So it's really lovely to have her back. She does.
And we love having her around.
Yeah. So. And she knows a lot about wine. Yeah.
She does. So go and see how she's getting on and have a glass of wine with her, shall we?
Let's do that.
Great.
See you next week, guys.
Cheers.